Hey, it's Zach, and I need to interrupt a moment because we are doing an incredibly exciting thing that requires your participation. Once a month, we will be featuring a teacher challenge on an episode and attempting to tackle the challenge between the four of us on the show. We want to hear from you about the challenges you might be facing in your classroom this year. Every teacher featured will receive a gift card, and at the end of the school year, we will draw a name randomly from all those who shared to award a $100 gift card. To share a challenge and earn a chance to win, simply call our number and leave a message. That number is 616-965-6606. Again, 616-965-6606.
This is Transforming Learning.
Welcome back to Transforming Learning. This is Pete Grostick.
And Amy Jimenez.
And in today's episode, episode 60, our colleague Eric Cliff will be talking with Pat Donahue. Amy, you've been working with Pat and his staff this year. What can you tell us about Pat?
Pat is a middle school principal at Kennedy Middle School in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, and his school recently switched to standards-based grading, so he's going to be sharing his experiences with that.
Please enjoy episode 60.
Well, Pat Donahue, thanks for being on the podcast.
No problem. I'm glad I could be here. Thank you for asking me.
Appreciate letting me steal some more of your time here. And in this case, we're going to be talking about standards-based grading, which you are the principal here at Kennedy Middle School. And, you know, we've got some schools, more elementary schools, that are standards-based grading. Mm-hmm. But you are in the second year of your actual implementation. You've been kind of lightly stepping into standards-based grading.
Correct.
But now you're in your full year of standards-based. And so, Pat, can you maybe share with our listeners, can we start maybe with the pitfalls of what you're seeing with standards-based grading?
All right. So when we first started taking a look at it, our elementary schools are standards-based grading already. And so our central office came to us and asked if we would be interested in transforming our school from a traditional based grading system to standards based.
Okay.
And we said yes to that with hesitation, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We did say, wanting to know a little bit more about it. And as we researched and we went to a couple of conferences, and that was both the administrators, our department heads, talking with other, not only the elementary schools, but the few middle schools in our Macomb, Oakland area that were part of standards-based grading, we were able to kind of come away with a feeling that we knew the process and we knew the final outcome of what we needed to get there. Mm-hmm. But the transformation, the steps, the yearly steps were different for each school.
Okay.
We made contact with the Michigan Association of Secondary School Principals, and they were holding a conference. We went there. We learned quite a bit of information, and we chose a model on a four-year model on what to do in order to make the full transition.
Okay.
Going through that, and first and foremost, it was obviously educating the staff and our community, our parents, in regards to the change that we were going to make.
Mm-hmm.
This really was a little bit harder with our staff than it was for the community, because our parents were already used to it from the elementary schools.
Okay, yeah.
And it was more of our staff having questions and the if-then statements and the but-or statements of in what happens in these situations. But we started off with our first year just talking about having common assessments and rubrics, working the full year on making sure that we did have common assessments and rubrics that were built based upon our standards. And that worked well. That was our fourth year out. Our third year was then implementing our character grades and our retest policy.
Oh, okay.
And so nothing more. We still had traditional grades, but what we did is we went from like a citizenship grade to character grades.
Okay.
And whether they were, you know, meeting, they needed improvement, or they were progressing towards the standards for the character grades. Mm-hmm. And
Pat, can you share maybe what are some of the character traits?
Those were different for every school that we talked to. They had come up with their own individual character grades, okay, as to what it was and what, yeah, was important. For us, it was you got me on this one. It was attendance, it was participation in the classroom, and then also respect.
Okay.
Were the three that our teachers agreed on that we, okay, wanted to make sure we were still trying to teach those type of skills and that are just important in everyday life.
Huh? Yeah.
That third year we did the integration of the character grades, and then also our redo retake policy for students who may not have done well on an assessment,
okay,
that they could come back and do that. That was perfect because that year we went through a couple of different models to figure out what worked best for our school.
Mm.
Now coming into year, and during that third year, I should say, is where we worked on the transformation from the traditional grades to the 1, 2, 3, or 4
standards. Yeah, right. Proficiency levels, if you will. You're moving away from A, B, C, D's, and now you've got numbers. And along with those numbers, is there some sort of verbiage on, hey, this is kind of what the numbers,
yes,
mean as well?
Yeah, so we defined what each number was, 1, 2, 3, or 4, and with 3 being the standard. That's where everyone wants to be. And that is, they are meeting the standard, they are there, they know the material. With 4 being, this student has gone above and beyond in regards to their research or their knowledge and understanding of the standard.
Okay.
That has helped out very well for students that want to push ahead.
Uh-huh.
We started the second year with a hybrid standards-based grading program, and that was where we were issuing the numbers for the standards, but we were also giving a final letter grade the students.
Okay.
We thought that this would make the transition easier for our current parents and students that were in the middle school that may have been 1 or 2 years out of the elementary and were already adjusted to the traditional grading ideal. We found that did not work well.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about one of the pitfalls, this is where we found our first pitfall.
Mm.
Because what everyone tried to do was relate a number with a grade.
Oh,
and yeah. So everyone was thinking that a 4 was an A and mm-hmm. a 3 was a B, when in reality, they don't compute the same.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't want them to compute.
You don't want them to compute the same. You don't even want to use percentages in any way, shape, or form. And so for those of us that went through the public school, any school system, I guess, it has truly been the traditional grading scale forever and a lifetime, looking backwards.
Yeah.
That is what we're used to. And so we're trying to fit that standards-based, this new ideal of standards-based grading into what we're all used to, what we're comfortable
mm-hmm.
with, A, B, C, D, or F.
Mm-hmm.
So last year was an experience of getting the students used to the numbers and impressing upon them that you know, if they had the 1 or 2, that's not necessarily a good thing, that there's a lot of work that they can do to master that area, that standard.
Yep.
And that was what the redo retake retest policy was for. And that was what we really focused on with our students last year was, okay, if you've got the one or two, you're able to come back and you know, following these guidelines, understanding what you need to do, then coming back and taking the assessment again, because it's all about building, getting mastery of the subject and building that foundation.
That was
what we worked on with the students. With the parents, it was still the letter grades, the A, B, C, or D. And but throughout the year, lots of good questions came up, a lot of good ideas came up, and then now into year four, which is the second year of actually implementing numbers in our grading scale, and the hybrid system in year three was actually just a 1 year. We knew that was only going to be 1 year. So this year we've gotten rid of letter grades altogether, and it is just numbers for the standards. And it's going well. I think the big thing in looking back, you know, hindsight is 2020. If we had to do it again, we would never do the hybrid. We would go directly from traditional 1 year, boom, close out in June. The next year, it is just numbers.
Make that a hard switch.
Yes, just make that hard switch right then. So that is what we're at this year, and it has gone well. The teachers, the students, parents are all adjusted to it, and they understand, you know, that it's all now about the standard. They're not looking for, you know, a letter grade for a core class. It is, okay, it's just all about the standards. And, you know, why are you getting a one in this area? You know that. We went and visited Washington, D.C., you know, for U.S. history. And we want you to retake this assessment and see what you can do. Go talk to the teacher.
Those are conversations parents are having with their kids.
Exactly. Those are the conversations that parents are having. And it's been nice because there's been great feedback and correspondence back and forth between the parents and the teachers, and it's actually drawing our parents in to, well, what is this? What is this that you're teaching, and how can I be a partner with you to make sure my student understands this?
That's a great that word, partnership.
Yes.
Because that's what education should be, right?
Absolutely.
School and home, that partnership.
Right.
By making this change, away from grades, I think that's a big piece. That's what the research says.
Absolutely.
It's, okay, where are my areas of growth that I still need to have, not where's my low grade, but then that opportunity to grow. That's powerful.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, in traditional, you say, okay, I you know, my son's in U.S. history, eighth grade, and all I would know is A, B, C, or D.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing U.S. history, but I'm seeing 10 to 15 standards underneath that title, and going, and now as a parent, I'm asking, okay, well, this is, or well, what was this about? You got a one in this versus you got fours and all these other things. It's just, it's really opening the communication, not only between parents and students, but also that part in building that partnership between the parents and the teachers. And the memories that, you know, the parent will call and talk to a teacher and, oh my gosh, I forgot all about that when I was an 80. I'll talk with them and that's great. Oh, that's great. I can't wait to see the, you know, what the outcome is or what the assessment is or what the project is. And, so it has been, it's been an enjoyable start to this school year now that we've had many more of those communications with the parents.
Good. And so you are essentially full bore standards based. Are there any additional tweaks or adjustments that you're trying to make?
Yeah, we are still working with our, interestingly enough, it's a such a mindset change for our students, for our on that redo retake policy. So yeah, in regards to it, just the things that we would change or tweak for next year is, we're still looking for that that sweet spot for our reassessment policy, and that is we came up with a building in year three. We did a in year three we had individual departments come up with their own reassessment policy.
Okay.
Then we brought all those together at the end of the year, and then last year we came up with a building-wide reassessment policy, and it didn't work well, just because of still with those letter grades. There was that hang up with letter grades that really, it was just very frustrating to parents. It was frustrating to some students, and it was absolutely frustrating to the teachers who were already at that switch point. They knew what it was. The meat and potatoes was the numbers, not the letter grade.
Yeah.
And so this year we made some additional tweaks. And we like our reassessment policy. The big issue that we're having is that having the students buy into their motivation, their internal or intrinsic motivation, to come back and do a reassessment. Mm. Yeah. And that's the toughest part, is because they see a one or a two and they're like, you know, it is what it is, and move on.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's showing that you don't know the material. You haven't gotten mastery of it, and so it's really kind of reteaching them that, you know, it's the three or four that's the acceptable, mm-hmm. not the one or the two.
Mm-hmm.
And persevere.
Don't give up.
Ugh,
yeah, keep working.
Right.
Yeah, working towards mastery for some kids takes additional work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And that is tough for some to want to do.
Yeah.
And so. But that's an ongoing thing. I mean, I'll tell you what, if anyone has the key to that, then write a book and you're going to make millions. I'll be the first one to buy the book. So,
yeah.
But that is something that's an ongoing process. And I think that leads to an important point, is that it should never be a finished product. Standards-based grading should, and the policies that you come up with should never be a finished product. It should be a continual. There's our bell system going on. It should be a continual modification when necessary, and changing as your clientele changes, but also as new things come up that someone has a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's put it into place. Let's give it a try.
Yep.
And that makes all the difference in the world.
Almost everything out there has been iterations of things, right?
Correct.
It's every invention, every tool out there, it's constantly redesigned. It's
right.
Adapted. So we've got to teach kids that within their own work right now.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Pat, thank you for sharing some of the insights,
sure thing.
The positives and the pitfalls. Anybody that wants to learn more about kind of what you guys are doing, your experiences with Standards Base,
yes.
How could they connect with you?
Absolutely. Again, no problem. I would love to host any staff that want to come to our school to sit down and talk and have a tour of our school to see what Standards Base grading is about. Our doors are open. You can contact me either through email at pdonohue at lsps.org. It's pdonohue@lsps.org, or by phone, and that is 586-285-8840.
Awesome. Pat, thank you so much for your time, and keep going with changing the constant landscape of education here at Kennedy Middle.
We are definitely doing that. So yeah, Eric, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Thanks, Pat.
We just heard from Pat and Eric, and Pat makes a point to talk about how difficult changing a grading system from point-based or percentage-based toward standards-based can be for students, and I imagine for teachers as well. What are some of the recommendations that you'd give to any teacher willing or looking to make this change?
Yeah, so when you're changing your grading system, you're not just changing grades, that teachers would have to change their instruction, that they need to be giving students multiple opportunities to demonstrate their learning, to learn new things. And students also have to have a mind shift as well, that what they're doing, they're trying to focus on mastery and not just achieving a certain letter grade or percentage.
Yeah, so it really kind of shifts the focus of learning from student.
Yeah, I think it's really getting at measuring the heart of the learning and not just if students followed procedure or turned something in on time. We want the grade to really measure students' knowledge and understanding.
And for anybody interested in learning more about this topic, 15 Fixes for Broken Grades, a great book by Ken O'Connor. We'll post a link to that in the show notes. Thanks, everybody. Until next time, this is Pete.
And Amy.
Thanks again for listening. If you haven't yet deduced, at CBD, we believe the best kind of professional growth comes from conversations with other professionals. So we have devoted ourselves to ensuring any educator anywhere can have that opportunity. Our virtual coaching service guarantees that. Check us out on cbdconsulting.com/elevateedu. You can share thoughts with just an email or quick text, or dive right into a conversation by phone or video chat. We look forward to hearing from you.